And good morning. Coffee is still definitely kicking in. If you're watching live, thank you for having us with us. It helps if I turn my phone on mute as well. It's always a nice morning mistake. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. It's great to have you here. I'm joined by one of my closest friends, Alistair Hogarth, who's doing so many amazing things in the music world and also is great at having general thoughts on life and everything. So good morning, Al. How are you doing?
I'm really good. I've just noticed right behind you, is that a picture of me on a pillow?
On a piano.
On a piano? It looks like a pillow. I thought that's a... No, that's a bit weird.
They're your promo photos. It's not my responsibility.
All over the house.
Exactly. Well, I made a collage last night and a small little shrine. Just, you know, getting in the zone.
Nothing weird.
Oh, no, just the run of a mill. Do this every single guest. Honest. But no, so it's, yeah, weird and wonderful times at the moment. But first, I thought it'd be quite fun to chat about what it is that you do and your general music career before all this chaos. Something I've never actually asked you before. How would you describe yourself and your career?
Well, I guess my craft is piano and being a pianist and whatever that entails. So as with, you know, most musicians, that's some performing and some teaching. And then other projects around that. So whatever kind of comes along, whatever I devise, whatever I think up at the time. And I guess one of the things that I've always enjoyed doing is being sort of creating things that are slightly different. Nothing sort of massively radical and crazy, usually. But I've always enjoyed doing things a bit differently. So that's just my personal preference. So my projects, especially more recently, have tended to be a bit more kind of, you know, always trying to do something new and do something a bit differently, I think.
Brilliant. That's really good to know. And amongst other things, you're involved in so many different projects, and there's always something new and exciting on the way, which I always find fascinating. So what was the last thing you were involved in doing, sort of the big project? Because I know you've done lots of Classic FM, doing lots online, but also working at Guildhall, various bits of working with your project, The Prince's Consort. What have you been up to, in effect?
The last thing we were up to, just before this all kind of kicked off, was an amazing and so rewarding project called Side by Side, which I run at Guildhall, at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama. And we were just beginning that project, actually. We had, I think, one rehearsal and, you know, just some of the sort of initial stuff going on there. And then that basically, it's a project where we pick some students, some singers and some pianists, and myself and Nicholas Mulroy and Anna Huntley, we do some coaching with them and then start to work with them as musicians and, you know, performing with them. And we worked towards this concert at Wigmore Hall. So unfortunately, we didn't get to the concert because that was cancelled. And obviously, we had to cancel all rehearsals after that. But that was the sort of thing that I was in the middle of. But I love doing that every single year. And the students give us so much as well in terms of ideas, and it's such a nice, it's probably one of the highlights of my year, I think.
Oh yeah, it's I think you've never actually mentioned it, but you seem to be quite driven by having a purpose of imparting information or helping others in their creative process as well.
I think, well, I've always taught, and when I started teaching, it was out of necessity because I had to earn money. I mean, as pretty much the same now, but,
yeah.
But you know, it was the purpose behind it and the motivation was I have to pay my rent and I have to, you know, earn money. So I did it for that reason initially, but I've really grown to love it. And that's not to say I didn't love it when I first started doing it, but I'm at a stage now where it's partly laziness because I can just tell other people what I think they should do and then they have to go and practice it.
Just delegating, just like, here's some ideas.
And get a donut.
It's a great way of doing it. It's like, here's some ideas, you can do the hard work and practice.
Funny though, because I feel like I can still, sometimes I learn pieces through teaching them, you know, pieces I haven't ever played myself. Mm. After you've taught one of those pieces, even if it's quite a difficult one, and addressed the difficulties and figured out, you know, how I might practice it and, you know, also what might work for that specific student, which, and those two things could be completely different. I find I've often got that piece in my fingers, which was very interesting because it shows how much practice is kind of more cerebral. And, you know, obviously you have to be in good shape and like piano shape, not six-pack shape. Although, yeah, that's
your six-pack does help, so
yeah,
it's...
But yeah, that's been interesting. Anyway, I've really enjoyed teaching recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good job, because that's what I'm doing a lot of right now.
Exactly. It's, it helps so much to have really, like, different strands to your career, which I'm sure we'll get on onto in a minute. And just carrying on from what you were saying, I always found when I was teaching, you end up saying things and then be like, that's a really good idea. I should actually kind of do that at some point. And it'd be like,
oh, gosh, yeah. So, and I'm often giving a bunch of advice, you know, like on a concert day, saying, well, you need to, you know, maybe try doing this and, you know, get up early and have a healthy breakfast and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, I find myself the day after waking up like
seven donuts whatever, down,
but eating a croissant and just sort of eating three packs of fruit pastels. And then, yeah, that's do you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, like,
yeah, I do try and practice what I preach, but sometimes it goes horribly wrong.
Exactly. Well, moving on to this incredible crisis we're all going through at the moment, especially the music world is affected in some quite unique ways. I was going to ask you how you're doing during quarantine, but it seems that you've been annexed to the conservatory by your entire family. So I'm guessing...
I've got four kids, so the potential for this interview being messed up at some point, the potential is quite high. And I can, it's funny, it's so weird doing an interview like this. I love it, but it's hilarious because I've never done an interview just wearing my socks. I mean, obviously I'm wearing other clothes too, but that's weird.
Yeah.
So I normally have shoes on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And being able to see myself on the screen whilst doing this is also weird. And I've also, there's kids sort of popping up at the window every so often. Usually doing something that they shouldn't be doing as well, and they know I can't do anything about
it. Yeah,
so,
it's like we've got at least like 20-30 minutes of free time for us to just make as much
so this is
possible.
Actually it's just a big excuse just to have some time to myself. It's thank you.
Oh, pleasure. Like,
we're doing okay. I feel it's taken a long time, relatively speaking, to just get into some kind of routine. I think I've found that very difficult, and just stuff that I would normally not do in the house, like go to the gym or whatever, and trying to keep all those things, trying to keep those normal things going and find different ways of doing that at home. That's been a bit of a challenge, but I think we're starting to kind of get a little bit closer.
Yeah, definitely.
To normality. But not that normal, obviously.
Exactly. But it's, I'm finding that sort of, was it week three now? I'm starting to find my feet in terms of general life and routine. And week one was great, but it was very manic and intense and stressful. Week two was like my mini implosion week of being like miserable and not wanting to do work and grumpy. And I was like, here's like what could a normal week routine kind of perhaps look like.
I've really enjoyed your blogs and your content. It's been a joy to read that. It's so positive and I think so helpful for students. So if any students are listening now, that's definitely something that...
That is a wonderful, nice, seamless plug into blogs, which are all at david-taylor.org. Thank you for that one.
Perfect. Checks in the post, man.
Exactly. So what is your working week?
In my direction.
Yeah, what? You're not paying me for plugging my own stuff? So what is your working week looking like now? Or what is it you're able to do from home and working remotely? And how are you doing it?
It varies according to... Because the kids are at home and some of them are at school. So they have, you know, varying degrees of work to do at home. So sometimes I'm kind of supervising that. So it depends on whether they're on holiday or whether it's a weekend. But generally my weekdays, the way they're working out is in the mornings, I'm tending to do stuff very much for me, work-wise. So doing my practice, I've really enjoyed practicing at the moment. And it's funny, actually, it's really interesting watching, you know, the reaction of different colleagues, and everyone's got their own way of doing things, and everyone's, whatever they're doing, if that's working for them, then that's the right thing to do. I have no sense of, you know, what I'm doing is the way you should do it and anything else. But I've found it difficult to release material online just in the last few weeks, personally. But I felt a great need to play just for myself. So I haven't released too much. Well, nothing, in fact, I don't think, in terms of music. Mm. But I've massively enjoyed that time in the morning just to practice. And I think that's something that a lot of my colleagues as musicians are finding, is that, you know, their lives are often our lives. Their lives are spent, you know, 50% doing your craft, which is your playing and so on, but then 50% doing all the admin and your emails and traveling and all the other stuff that comes with doing music as a career. And a lot of that stuff is quite stressful. So I think for a lot of us, it's removed the stressful bit of our day-to-day existence. Having said that, obviously, potentially we're earning a lot less, so that's a bit of a counter
to
that.
Like stress replaced in there somewhere.
Fairly big stress. But I have hugely enjoyed that time in the morning just to sort of play some piano and actually learn some repertoire that I've always wanted to learn and never had the time. And it's quite nice for a bit, just not having to wake up thinking I've got to learn this by, well, hopefully a couple of weeks' time and not tomorrow. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it'll be choosing repertoire that's you actually creatively want to do rather than sort of, this has been programmed and I need to go and learn X for this event, and it's then... Not that you're going through like a mechanical process, but you don't have quite as much flexibility in what you want to play and perform.
Yeah, it's just nice to reignite some of the sort of joy of playing. Not that I don't enjoy playing when I'm doing concerts. I love it. But it is nice just being able to wake up and be like, well, I'm going to play some Chopin today and then some Ellie Goulding or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever floats your boat.
Exactly. Well, looking sort of going ahead into the future, digital content's going to be something that we've all are going to have to do more of. And you're someone who in the past has been very successful. So you've done collaborative projects with Classic FM, various different projects. I know that actually some of them have been in sort of around changing what the performance environment is in a live setting and sort of capturing that. Do you have any goals or things you want in the future? Or is it more still finding your feet creatively at the moment and then making a plan and going forwards?
I think, like I said at the beginning, one of the things I've always enjoyed is not going with the flow. I don't mean in a rebellious sort of way, just...
Slightly.
If loads of people are doing something, I don't find myself wanting to do that thing so much.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in the next few weeks, and I've got a few projects I'm working on that are sort of quite online ones, the actual performance ones, not necessarily teaching. I guess I'm searching for ways of doing things a bit differently, and the people I'm working with on these as well are also of that mindset. So I think that's been quite important for me, is to work with like-minded people that I enjoy hanging out with and working with on something like this, because that, again, that's provided a really nice distraction to all the horrors of the news that you have to read every day. And you know, it has kept some sort of normality, I guess.
Yeah.
So I can't say specifically too much about these, because I'm not a too, but I've just enjoyed, I think one of the things I've enjoyed particularly about this time, if I'm allowed to enjoy part of it, despite it being an awful situation, is just being forced to do stuff that I've sort of always thought, well, I should probably, you know, like just as simple as Skype lessons or whatever. And that's definitely something I've always kind of wanted to do and thought, well, maybe I'll do that next week.
Yeah.
And being the master procrastinator that I am, I never got around to it. So it's just freed me up in terms of both specific things that I might want to do, like stuff on Skype, but also just reminding me that, oh yeah, I should be a bit more adventurous in trying new things again. And it's I think that's going to have a positive impact on a lot of people, just sort of reminding them that it's not that difficult to learn new things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult sometimes to be awesome at those things, but it's, you know, the learning process is always something that everyone can have a go at. And what better time to do it than when you've got loads of time at home and you've got YouTube and you've got so many resources for learning new things. So I'm looking forward to that kind of stuff.
Massively. One thing I keep saying to people is that with this experimenting, especially if you're experimenting online, there's never going to be a time when there's going to be a more supportive and accepting audience who are going to forgive you for any little mistakes that do happen. I think everyone's going to be wanting to pull around and help and be of assistance with all this. So before, whereas people may have been a little bit more, not just mental, but analytical as to helping things, now they're actually really wanting to go out the way and support musicians and do stuff to help. So it's the best time to have a nice, friendly, accepting audience.
I think. And it's, I think it's good to remember, and I've always felt this throughout my entire life, because I've gone wrong so many times and made mistakes, but it's so okay to mess up. And it's important, I think, to be kind to yourself. And it, you know, I could run out of batteries in a minute on my phone and this will all go. that'll remind me the next time we do one of these that I should maybe charge my phone up even more before I start. But I think it's important for everyone to try new things, but also be, yeah, like you say, just be kind to yourself and okay if it goes wrong and learn from it. And
exactly.
Do you know that Michael Caine quote? Just use the difficulty is what he always says. And I really like that, because I think that's often what I've done to create projects, is there's been a limitation or something. And, you know, obviously this is a huge limitation. So I'm thinking, well, you know, how do I use the difficulty? How can I rethink this in a positive way? Because I think it's very easy to think, well, how can I make my old ways and habits and things that I used to do and have been doing, how can I fit those? How can I sort of crowbar those into this system? Mm-hmm. And what I'm keen to do, I think, in terms of projects going forwards with this sort of situation is, you know, how can I use this in a new way? How can I change what I do and think of brand new things rather than trying to sort of alter things?
Yeah.
Although obviously you have to alter some things and keep those things. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, very much so. It's a time you can experiment and try different bits. So because I can't put you on the spot and ask you what you're going to be doing, I am going to put you on the spot and ask you what things you've seen that you've liked. Which is the nicer question than saying what things have you seen and not liked?
Yeah.
Well, go for kind of you. I know. I thought, like, it's still before lunchtime. I'll try not to get you in too much trouble just yet.
Yeah. Stuff I've liked. Well, there's been loads. I've really enjoyed my friend Tom Poster and his wife Elena. They do this jukebox thing. I think it's called jukebox. Forgive me if it's not, Tom and Elena. But and they're taking requests each day. And Tom is an amazing musician in all respects, as is Elena. But one of his immense gifts is arranging. And I'm sure Elena exactly the same. I don't know Elena very well at all, but I know Tom very well, and he has an enormous gift for arranging all manner and types of music. So he's arranging things for people, and it's been a really diverse mix. So, like, there was a Frozen mashup the other day. There's been some, you know, beautiful straight down the line classical performances as well of Fauré. Just a whole mix. I've really enjoyed that. And Tom and Elena have been very eloquent in the way they have posted these and written a little bit of background, not just about what they're doing and why they're doing that particular thing that day, you know, who it might have been requested by, but also kind of how they're doing. And I remember one very poignant one, actually, was Tom talking about how, you know, he often arranges things just to, you know, to, like, calm himself down, or just as a way of dealing with things. And and I thought that was a lovely thing to write, because it felt like you were just looking in on some amazing music that he'd created for his own purposes, you know, in a sense, just to make himself happy and all that. So anyway, I've really, really enjoyed watching that. It's great entertainment, and they're fabulous musicians. So that's been fun. What other life things have I enjoyed? I loved the other day, there's an amazing performance on Classic FM doing I can't remember what it's called. Is it called At Home? I can't remember the exact...
Something like that, yeah.
At Home, something like that. Anyway, they're doing this wonderful series, and it's just beautifully filmed in someone's house, I'm guessing, just of the one of the Bach cello suites, and I love that. I just love the simplicity of it and the the cleanness and the beautiful presentation, and also the way that Classic FM presented it and the way it's, you know, all put together and branded up. I love that. It was very, really classy and a beautiful performance as well. My friend Dom Ferris. You should go, if you don't know Dom, you have to check him out. I think his page is something like Dominic Ferris Music. I'm probably giving all the wrong plugs, but anyway, Dom is a legend. He's a really mate of mine, and he does requests each, like live requests. And you can check him out on Instagram, and I think he sometimes does them on Facebook, but he'll certainly sort of let you know when he's doing them on Instagram. And again, he's a genius. He can play anything in any key and backwards and forwards and any style. So that's been fun. And I've actually had the kids sort of next to me, and they're shouting requests and typing that in. That's been a fun thing to do with the family in a way that's a musical thing. So yeah, those are some of the things I've enjoyed. I mean, there's probably loads more that I've just completely forgotten about. But I've loved too, so apologies if I haven't mentioned.
I think it's hard when there's so much now going on in such a short world, or small world, in effect, of being online. And it's hard keeping track of, one, what you've consumed, and two, actually seeing it all, which is, I think, potentially...
It's an incredibly noisy space right now, and it always has been more recently anyway, even before this. You know, as a musician, digitally, it's quite difficult to break through all the noise.
Mm.
As it was before, but now, you know, there's so much posting, and it's quite a challenge, I think.
Yeah, very much so. That leads on quite nicely to one of my next questions. It's as if I've like vaguely organised this at some point. It is like written on a small piece of paper, but it's close enough.
Look at that!
I know, vague organisation. It's weird when this is now being more organised than my working life, but there we go. So yes, you've in the past done lots of digital projects and lots of Classic FM as well on their digital online stuff. Something I think might be really helpful for people is understanding how you take an idea and how you then make it go online, how you sort of work out if it will resonate or not. Do you have any advice or tips, or what is your process for coming up with a digital project and how it will then obviously then get some coverage?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't tend to try and think of things specifically to create widespread coverage, because I've found in the past when I've tried to do that, the exact opposite of what I thought might happen happens. So I've, you know, often thought, well, this is going to do great. The angle and the location is perfect. It ticks all the boxes, and it doesn't do so well. And then I remember once, I must have been quite bored, but I figured out I could play a left-hand piano piece whilst drinking a beer with my right hand. And I sent a message to my friend Kyle at Classic FM and said, oh, would you be interested in this? Just because it's, you know, it's kind of funny. And he said, yeah. So I recorded this thing at something like 9:30 a.m. with a real beer. And it was really low budget. I couldn't get my iPhone at the right height, so I had to prop up the iPhone on my baby's high chair. He wasn't in the chair at the time. The phone was there. And so I'm sort of sitting there at 9:30 a.m. trying to play a piano piece whilst drinking a beer or whatever. But that did extraordinarily well online, like way better than any other video I've ever done. It went well over, I think, 200,000.
I've never seen this either.
Via Classic FM, it wouldn't have done the same if I just posted it on my own stuff. But... So that was interesting, because that took me like seconds to learn that extract of that piece.
But you practiced it a good 50, 60 times just to make sure.
Yeah. I was quite disappointed because unusually for me, I did it in about 2 takes and I got it correct. Oh. And I was like, oh.
I'll just see if I've got another one just in case. I'll just do it again in case it's a better one.
I can do this one better, yeah. So I wasn't quite ready for how well that one was going to do. And likewise, I've done things that have taken absolutely ages to prepare for, like playing a really complicated Chopin etude. And, you know, that may not have done so well. But also what's interesting is when it's been posted has made a difference. I don't mean just during the day, but like what part of the year and all that kind of stuff. Because I've often had videos that have been posted, say, earlier in the year, and then a smaller clip of it, for example, later in the year. And then one of them has done like 100,000 and the other's done 22,000 or whatever. So it's, I found it very, very difficult to predict what's going to do well. So I try not to worry about it, and I try and just come up with stuff that I believe in and think are good projects that involve drinking beer whilst playing. That's the motivation.
Exactly.
I'm joking. But yeah, just projects that I think I believe in and want to do. And then hopefully people that are like-minded and similar to me might enjoy that. And if people don't like it, that's fine too. And they can always watch other videos of cats and stuff and whatever. But
exactly. And I think
it's probably a frustrating answer to the question in a sense, but I don't think I've got a strategy as such for producing content.
Yeah, it's always tricky. You don't know what else is going on in the world. I remember when I did my, I used to run a youth orchestra, and one day we had BBC News coming in to do some filming, and we were really excited, and they're all driving on the way to the venue. And my orchestra is in Yorkshire, the same day, the Brownlee twins who do triathlon, they won gold and silver at the Olympics on the same day. So the TV truck just turned around and went back to go do some filming for them instead. I was like, oh, they've gone. And you just don't know what else you clash with. And so I now have like a complete irrational hatred of both Brownlee brothers just for taking off a little TV spot. From what I gather, they're both lovely. But because of that one tiny thing, it's tricky to do. But yeah, so do you have any sort of tips or advice for creating digital content?
One thing that I think's been interesting to learn is that you don't need loads of equipment and loads of fancy stuff to do it. It's very easy, and I'm as guilty as anyone about thinking like this. But sometimes I've put off doing stuff because I've thought, well, I need this camera, or I need this light rig, or I need a better mic, or I need whatever. And I've discovered that, firstly, you don't need that much. And like we were discussing earlier, currently this setup involves one of my kids' toy kitchens, a small wooden piece of cake.
Oh, it is so much.
Not actual cake, it's my son plays.
Yeah.
And so that's how I've still got a fancy tripod or anything. So I.
And the high chair for the beer video as well.
Sorry?
And the high chair for the beer video. You don't need a tripod. It's fine.
There's a theme.
Very much so. And
Exactly. Sorry,
I was going to say, in fairness as well, it's not just a toy kitchen. It's a toy Arga as well. So you've really upped the production value to being...
Well, I don't like to cut corners. You've got to have all the stuff, don't you?
Exactly. You need the right toy kitchen.
Exactly. But I think it's important to remember, don't be put off by seeming lack of equipment. And the other thing that I've realised is that often stuff filmed on your phone in quite an informal way sits really well on most platforms anyway, and probably better than, I think, either really, in my opinion, I think really high budget video works really well, super high budget, really like low tech. But if you hit the middle ground, I just find sometimes it doesn't sit quite well. It's sort of almost...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It takes the personal side out of the basic equipment and the quality side out of the high end, and it just sort of, it fails on both fronts, in effect.
Yeah. It hits that middle. So that would be my advice, is just do it. Also, don't be put off by... I mean, it's good to have a strategy and everything. And I know you probably should and have like these long-term strategies and plans, but the way I've actually always worked best is doing things as they come along, and that's both external things that have been suggested to me by other people, but also my own ideas. I've often just sort of pursued them as they happen, rather than thinking, right, across the year I want to hit this target by here. And I know that, you know, the business way to do it, and that's probably the way you should do it, but also I think I'm just saying, if that's not the way you like to work, that's okay too. You know, and if you are going to produce content, better by not planning it all out across months. If you're going to do it and get it out there, then that's better than nothing. So I would say just kind of find your own way of doing it, and don't feel you have to do things in a certain way.
Exactly. And I'm very similar, and I know that posting on social media frequently with a plan works better. I know that if I wrote blogs on a regular basis, it'd be great. And if I post at the same time or the same day, it all works better. But for me, it's sort of that level of structure in that regard just terrifies me in a way. So if it takes me, I'll do it. And if not, I won't, which isn't potentially better long, sort of in the short term, but longer term, if it means that I actually then make content rather than being like rabbit in the headlights, it works better.
And also, yeah, I mean, one thing I've discovered about the music profession, and I'm sure it's the same in lots of professions, but often things that I do that I think are going to result in one thing, professionally speaking, often end up activating some other project that's completely unrelated that I would have never have thought of. And I'll go off on some tangent in that direction that I could, you know, so that would potentially completely shatter my year plan if I've done one. So I found personally for me, just the way I work, I tend to just sort of pursue things as they appear to me.
Exactly. Well, one thing I'm curious to ask you, because you do quite a lot in an education capacity, partly teaching privately, but also at Guildhall School of Music and coaching and supporting and mentoring students there. What sort of challenges do they face normally within the music world? And then what in particular is now are they facing during this absolutely crazy time?
I think that the issues are similar in that it's a very noisy space online for them to break through. It's much, much more difficult than in some ways when I was trying to make a name for myself in my 20s. And I'm only 23 now.
Sorry, so, I shouldn't have laughed too much then.
Yeah, shut up. So I think that they face that challenge, but also because they've grown up with that media, they're much more natural at it. And that, you know, the students that I know at the various places I teach are so fluent and brilliant at doing Instagram stories, and I'd have to sit down and really actively think about exactly what I'm going to post, and is this okay, and is, you know, asking myself all these questions. What's great about students at that stage is firstly they're brimming with ideas, but a lot of the time they don't have any fear about posting stuff, and they just go for it. So I think that's a huge advantage for them, and something that they should bear in mind, that they're really great at a lot of this stuff naturally. Challenges specifically at this time are obviously they've, you know, got no live performances. That's both difficult for increasing their profiles in a live sense with a live audience. Also just developing their craft of performing, because it's quite weird doing I've always found, for example, playing live on the radio in a studio quite a difficult thing to do, because you don't have an audience there. Like, you might be on, for example, on Radio 3 on In Tune, which is a show I've done a lot, and I love it. But even having done lots and lots of those, it's still a bit jarring in your mind, because you're playing live. There's two or three people in the studio with you, perhaps, if that. But it's being broadcast to hundreds of thousands of people. So mentally, you're kind of like, it's, you've got to deal with it. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think just their lack of live dates at the moment and getting used to their craft that way is a bit of a challenge for them. But at the same time, they're probably, you know, if they're doing live streaming of their own performances, they're, you know, they're in a great position to develop what I was just talking about, which is to be doing performances in your own home and, you know, your cat's sitting there and that's about it. But you're actually broadcasting to a lot more people. So, I think there's sort of pros and cons of it, and I think the main, yeah, I'd say that's probably one of the main challenges is, you know, now that everyone's going to be online and much more fluent in the online space, how are they going to break through that? How are they going to create something new?
definitely. Well, before moving on to the final question, one thing you mentioned about live streaming with your cat in the background. This morning I saw a video of a newscaster in America who's working from home, and he's there reading the news, and in the background is not only his cat, but his cat who is just like splayed, licking its backside at the same time. And you can't look at the man. You're just fixated on this cat. And yeah, poor guy. Seems to be like, yep, I'm doing a good job. We've got it down. I think it's going well. And just everyone's just like, what's that in the background? It's, yeah, absolutely hilarious. That was my morning breakfast YouTube watching.
I think memes are great at the moment as well. I think this disaster has produced the most exquisite online memes and banter and stuff. It's been...
Yeah, you need that sense of humour during this.
Every day, it's just...
There's always something new. Totally. Well, as a final question then, what predictions do you have for the classical music world going forwards with your crystal ball as to how things are going to look in, say, 6 months or a year's time? Small question.
So difficult to say. I guess it all depends in 6 months' time whether performances are back live. Mm. Assuming that live performances are back around that time, firstly, one of my predictions actually is that not only are performers going to be so eager to play live again and excited about it, I think there's going to be a very special energy in those concerts coming back, with the gratefulness of the performers to be able to play to people in person again, and also, you know, gratefulness of the audience being able to attend a concert. So I think that's going to be a big thing. I think we're going to see a massive increase in just the polish of musicians, because we've all got all this time at home to practice and, you know, really work hard at what we do.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't always get that privilege. If you've got tons of gigs back to back and you're learning to deadlines, you know, you're doing the required preparation, but, you know, you perhaps don't have so much time to spend on working on your technique or whatever else you need to work on. So I think the actual quality of performances is going to be quite breathtaking. So I would imagine that's going to be the case. I think those would be my main predictions. Other than that, I'm finding it quite difficult to...
Yeah, I think you'd make a lot of money if you knew any more than that, to be honest. But I genuinely hadn't thought about what the first few performances are going to be like going forwards. And I think you're right that there'll be something very unique and special about them. I hadn't really thought about what that's going to be like. So you may have hit the nail on the head there.
I wonder if there'll be fewer coughs in performances now. Just, you know, if anyone coughs, they're going to be... Yeah.
Like sanitizer coming in and... Well, it's a good way of getting some seats to yourself, at least, in the concert hall. But no, it's going to be surreal. But yeah, I think that's a really nice note to end on, that's quite hopeful as to what it's going to be like going forward. So thank you very much for joining.
I think we'll come out of this, you know, despite obviously there's been a lot of tragedies and very difficult times. And, you know, financially speaking for musicians, it's going to be enormously difficult, as it is for, you know, for a lot of different types of work too. I think, you know, obviously coming out of that's going to be a real challenge, and getting through this period of time. But I think looking back, people will have grown a lot as musicians, but also, like we were saying earlier, just in that other bit of the job, which is, you know, media, and you know, people are going to be making some wonderful contacts within the media over this next period, and, you know, that'll stay in place, I'm sure, after this is all over. And, you know, people like you starting up a podcast, and there's new online media that we haven't had before, that's terrific. And that's, you know, that's there's so many wonderful things that I think will come out of this when we look back on it. I think
that's a really nice hopeful look of what is potentially can feel like quite a bad situation. So nice cheery note to end and start the rest of the week on, I think.
Cool. And well, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And it looks like the sun's just come out properly behind you as well, so it's going to be a good day, fingers crossed. Well, awesome. If anyone wants to find you on the world of the internet and being online, where can they find you?
I'm all over it.
Just Google.
Type Alan. No, don't do that. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I'm mostly on Instagram, actually, at the moment. But I haven't, like I said, I haven't actually been putting myself out there much recently. I've just felt the need to be a bit quieter and introverted. But I'll be back on those quite soon. But yeah, just all the normal places.
All the normal places. Perfect. Well, thank you, Mitch. And if you've been watching live, thank you for being with us all this time. And again, with the podcast, you've been listening, thank you very much for joining. The next one is on Wednesday, fingers crossed. Still no time on that. But I hope you've really enjoyed today. And Al, you're going to laugh now because I literally genuinely have no idea how to end these yet. It just like kind of fizzles out.
Really?
Yeah. It just,
are we still on
it? We're still live. It just kind of like rambles on. And I just then eventually press stop and in the hope that it's going to...
Have you pressed stop now then?
Nope, still going.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's just I haven't quite worked out the, like, you know.
Are we going to be on this all day now then?
Quite potentially.
Sort of big brother.
Well, considering that your like original 40% of battery is slowly going, but yeah, we could do some sort of like Big Brother The Sim style live stream day 14, and they're still going on the marathon podcast.
Yeah, Al's battery's still going strong.
Yeah, at 13%, just slowly, desperately going down.
Life on the edge, yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I should probably head off. Well, thank you again for listening, and I hope you all have a good day.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.